We're going to have our Bible reading now from Psalm chapter 46. And as you know, over the summer and Sunday evenings, we've been looking at this series of locating the verses that we love and how we've seen a number of passages that we know really well that we often might have sent to us or on bookmarks or on cards. And we've seen a number of them sometimes are taken out of context. When we just take the verse and we just say the verse, sometimes we can misinterpret or misrepresent where they're found in their application and their meaning in their context. But the verse tonight that we're going to look at, instead of being maybe one of those verses that's often taken out of context, we're going to look at a verse that often is put in context. But when we look at it in its context, in the wider passage and the rest of the psalm, we see a verse that is amplified in its application and its meaning when we locate this verse that we love. And you probably already know from the opening hymn that we had and through my prayer, the verse we're going to look at. We're going to look at Psalm 46 and verse 10 this evening, which says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." Let's locate this verse that we love. So let's read together Psalm 46, verses 1 to 11. It just says in the little introduction, "To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times, or a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. Let's just bow one more time and ask for the Lord's help as we come to spend a few moments this evening in this passage. Father, as we come to your word, we need your help. We need the help of your Holy Spirit to take your word and to break through our apathy and our distractions and our human understanding. And Lord, we ask that by the power of your Spirit, you would touch our hearts and our minds and our souls this evening. That you would speak through your word. That you might teach us and challenge us, encourage us, and help us. And we ask, Lord, if there's someone tuning in tonight who doesn't know you, that even tonight they'd be challenged to put their faith and their trust in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a story in the news last week of a young boy of 10 somewhere in the UK. And he'd been out with his father and his sister in the water by the coast and the beach. And he got into trouble. And he got swept out to sea in the waves. After an hour, he was rescued by the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard were amazed at the young man's ability to deal with the situation that he got himself into. And rather than thrashing around in the water and trying to swim his way back to shore, the young boy lay back on his back and floated over and up and down the waves for an hour. until he was rescued. You see, that young boy had watched a documentary on television that had explained what you're meant to do if you fall into water and you get into trouble into water and you can't help yourself. Rather than thrashing about, rather than trying to save yourself, you're to lie flat on your back and you're to float and you're to call for help. The lifeboat crew credited this boy's dealing with this situation, lying and being still, with saving his life. Now, as we come here to Psalm 46 and we see the psalmist talking about the waves and the storms and the difficulties of this life, the psalmist gives us the same advice that this boy heeded when he found himself in difficulty in the water. The psalmist tells us to be still. God tells us to be still and to know that he is God. We're just going to pick up on four things this evening from this psalm. Firstly, we see trust in our troubles. Trust in our troubles. Secondly, we see peace in his presence. Peace in his presence. Thirdly, we see security in his sovereignty. Security in his sovereignty. And fourthly, we see stillness in his splendor. Stillness in his splendor. You know, this psalm starts off with a real confidence, doesn't it? A real testimony, a real assertion of trust in God. Look at verse 1. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What a testimony. The psalmist turns around and says to us, God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our present help in trouble. This psalmist trusts God in his troubles. He's encouraging God's people as they sing this song in corporate worship to God, that they're to trust God in their troubles. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Psalmist tells us to trust God in our troubles because he's a refuge, isn't he? A refuge. Don't know if you can cast your mind back to your school days, any of the boys and girls who are still in their school days today, particularly primary school, or if you're in secondary school or older, you can cast your mind back to those playground games you used to play in primary school. And of course, when everyone got together, you would play Tig or It or whatever derivative of the game was called. And of course, someone would be It and they would have to chase after you and would have to Tig you. But there was one place of safety, one place of refuge. You had to get to Den. If you made it to the Den, you were safe. They couldn't get you. And you were trying always to make it to the Den before they got you. It was a place of refuge. The psalmist tells us in the game of life, when trouble comes, his Den is God. His Den is God, his place of safety that he runs to for refuge when there's something or someone more powerful than him coming against him. When he's in trouble, he runs to a safe place. He has a place of refuge. He has a trusted place in times of trouble. A trusted person in times of trouble. The psalmist, when he's in trouble, he runs to God because God is his refuge. God is his refuge. Not only does he trust God in times of trouble, with God being his refuge, the place that he runs for safety when something comes against him, but God is also his strength. God is our strength. God is our refuge and strength. And refuge, as we've just seen, is that idea of running to a place of safety when something more powerful is coming against you and you can't stand by yourself. Well, strength, it's slightly different, isn't it? It carries the idea of someone greater than us coming to us with their strength and empowering us. With refuge, we run to them and we find safety and security in their strength. When it says here, God is our strength, it's the idea of God coming to us and God empowering us and helping us to be strong. A God who draws alongside us and gives us help in trouble. He empowers us to face it and to overcome it. This psalmist says, I have a help in my troubles. I trust God in my troubles. He's my refuge. He's the place I run to when it's coming against me. And he's my strength. He's the person who gives me the strength to stand and to face what comes my way. He's a very present help in trouble. The new NIV version says an ever-present help. The new NLT version says that he's always ready to help. The psalmist trusts God in his troubles as a refuge and a strength because God is available 24/7. He's a present help in trouble. And there is no trouble that is not his speciality. And so he leads the people in song and he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's easy to say, isn't it? That's easy to sing, isn't it? And there's so many songs that are based on Psalm 46 that have made their way into hymns. But what about the really difficult things in life? What about the real trials? What about the real tragedies? Can we still sing this? Can we still say this? Can we still trust God in our troubles? What about the car accidents? What about the sudden explosions? We've seen that in our news this week. What about the tsunamis and the terrorist attacks? What about the sudden deaths and the out-of-the-blue diagnoses? Can God be trusted in those troubles? Can he be a refuge and a strength and a present help in those troubles? Well, the psalmist says yes, a resounding yes. You see, when those really awful things happen, he is the only refuge. He is the only strength. He is the only help. Look at the imagery that the psalmist uses in verses 2 and 3 here. After he says that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble, he says, therefore we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. We have two contrasting images from nature here as the psalmist describes the troubles. The first is the rough sea, the swell and the foam and the waves. And of course, that's the illustration of the danger and the chaos and the brokenness of life in this world. The stormy sea crashing its waves against us. Second image, of course, is that of the mountains. Typically, the mountains are the place of safety and security and sturdiness. You can't really move a mountain. That's why all the idiosyncrasies are saying about mountains. Mountains don't move. They're sturdy. Usually. Usually when the waves crash into the shoreline, usually when the waves crash into the mountains, it's the mountains that stand firm and it's the waves that dissipate. Yet what do we have here? Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. It's the wrong way around, isn't it? It's not the mountains standing firm and the sea retreating. It's the mountains shaking. It's the mountains being thrown into the sea, and it's the sea overwhelming them. What the psalmist is testifying to here when he's saying he's not going to fear because God is his refuge and God is his strength, that God is a very present help in time of trouble. What he's saying is that when everything else gives way, when all that is secure in this life starts to be rocked and starts to be taken apart, when everything else that we trust in breaks down, when the very mountains are swallowed by the sea, even then, our God can be trusted. Our God can be trusted in trouble, and there's no trouble that we can't trust him in. There's no trouble that we can't testify to God being a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even if the mountains give way into the sea. Maybe you're tuning in this evening and you know present troubles and you're fearful and it's as if all your mountains are disappearing around you. Everything that you can trust in, every earthly hope that you have is just dissolving. It's just being overwhelmed by wave after wave of trouble. When you just feel like you're just left with the waves, listen to the psalmist. You have help in trouble. You can trust in trouble. Because God is your refuge and strength. He is a present help in whatever that trouble is. And the psalmist says here that therefore we will not fear. Trust God in your troubles. Trust God in your troubles. Be like that little boy. Be still. And know that he is God. So firstly, we see we're to trust in our troubles. Secondly, we see peace in his presence, peace in his presence. There's a real scene change here in verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 46. And it says this, it says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." And the scene changes from the chaos of the sea breaking into the mountains to the security of the city. The security of the city. And of course, it's talking about Jerusalem, the city of God. And the imagery here is of Jerusalem secure, the city of God, but it's been besieged by an invading army. The army is all around the walls, all around the city. They've besieged it. And the city of Jerusalem, the city of God, is spending a night under siege. There's an army all around. But even though it's under siege, the psalmist here is testifying to two things: the provision of God and the presence of God. We see the provision of God in verse 4. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." You know, of course, if you're going to lay siege to a city, what's the point? Well, the point is you surround the city, you cut off the supply lines, and eventually the city will give up or they'll be too weak to stop your attack. You starve them out. But if a city has a stream, if they have a water source, that is much more difficult, isn't it? They can grow their own food. They will not die of thirst. They have clean, running water in the city. The psalmist testifies here, "In the city of God, there is a river whose streams make it glad." How glad would you be under siege if you had a stream in your city? We see God's provision in trouble. The city of God, besieged on all sides, but it's safe and it's secure, and God is providing for his people. And they have peace in his presence because of his provision. But we also see they have peace because of his presence in that city. It says here in verse 4, "the holy habitation of the Most High." Verse 5, "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." God is there with them. This is his city. He's dwelling in his city with his people, and they have nothing to fear. They're secure. He is with them. They may be in darkness with threats all around, but they can be still. They can have their eye on his provision. They can have their eye on his presence with them as their God. They can look for his help in the morning, knowing that he'll bring them through the night. And again, what a wonderful thought that is for us this evening if you're one of God's people. You're surrounded by God's provision and by God's presence. He walks with you. He'll be with you. You can rest in his provision and his presence this evening. You can trust in his help. And maybe you feel in the darkness, maybe you feel surrounded. The psalmist tells us here, God will help her when morning dawns. Morning is coming. Whether it be in this life or the next, morning is coming. Be still and know that he is God. Have peace in his presence. Have peace in his presence. Thirdly, we see security in his sovereignty. Security in his sovereignty. The picture changes again in the psalm to the picture of conflict and war and battle and fighting. You know, in the past 3,400 years of human history, there has only been peace from a major world conflict in about 268 of those 3,400 years. Human history is littered with war and conflict. In the 20th century, 108 million people died or were killed in a conflict. At the minute in our world, there are more than 40 active conflicts and wars going on right as we speak. 40 conflicts or wars. War and human conflict is the bleak reality for many, if not the majority, of people in our world. And it has been over the course of human history. And that's the next source of trouble that the psalmist deals with here in verses 6 to 9. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. What are you going to do, child of God, when the nations rage? What are you going to do when the kingdoms totter? The NIV puts it, when the nations are in uproar. The NLT puts it, when the kingdoms crumble. When the wrestlings of power among humans bring everything down. When kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. In the trouble of war and conflict and suffering and death and the great evils that human beings can do to each other, the psalmist is still testifying to a God who is his refuge and his strength. The psalmist can be still and know God because he finds security in God's sovereignty. The nations may rage, the kingdoms may totter, but our God speaks and the earth melts. He is more powerful, he is sovereign over all things. And we read in verse 7 that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's safety from trouble and conflict and war in our God. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is our fortress. Whatever the conflict, whatever the army, whatever the empire, it's nothing compared to the sovereignty of our God. And of course, that doesn't mean that God's people never experience the horrors or the suffering of conflict and war. But they trust in a sovereignty, in the sovereignty of their God in that, knowing that he is in control of all things. And the psalmist takes his eyes off the power struggles and the conflicts of man, and he takes his eyes to God. In verses 8 and 9, God is in charge. He's the one who brings desolation on the earth. He's the one who brings an end to war. He's the one who breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the chariot. If we were to put that in today's military language, it's God that grounds the bombers and the fighter jets. It's God who blows up the tanks. It's God who breaks the barrel of the gun. He's sovereign. There's security in his sovereignty, no matter when there's insecurity all around. We've had the benefit of this country of knowing a relative peace. We've gone through the troubles. But we've known relative peace since the Second World War. What happens if another world conflict comes? What are we going to do when the nations rage and the kingdoms totter? When our security disappears? When we look across our world and we see our brothers and sisters in Christ living in war zones, living in conflict? What do they testify to? What will we testify to? Well, this psalmist tells us to testify to God's sovereignty, to have security in his sovereignty, and to know that he is in control. He is the Lord, and we can trust him in the shifting powers and changing conflicts of this world. We can be still and know that he is God. We can trust him. We can find security in his sovereignty. Fourthly, we see stillness in his splendor. Stillness in his splendor. At the end of this psalm, through all the trouble, through the breaking down of the mountains by the waves, through the besieging of the city, through the nations raging and the kingdoms tottering and the conflict and the war, can the psalmist still say that God is our refuge and strength? Of course he can. That he's a present help in trouble and will not fear? Of course he can. And as we get to verse 10, it is no longer the psalmist talking. It's God talking. And God says in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." In all the trouble and all the difficulty, God speaks. And God speaks to his people. And he tells them to just be still. Stop. Stop flailing around, trusting in yourself. Stop giving in to your fears and your anxieties. Just stop and trust me. Know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And we're to lift our eyes off ourselves and we're to look to him. He says, "Be still and know that I am God, because I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Child, take your eyes off yourselves and your circumstances and look up to me and see who I am and see what I have done and see that I will be glorified in this earth. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. See me, experience me, fill your mind with me. Await my help. No matter what the trouble is, I am going to be exalted. My kingdom is going to come, and you are part of that kingdom. And your future is secure, and his people will ultimately be delivered. Someday the earth's going to melt away, but God's going to reign with his people. Someday the heavenly Jerusalem is going to descend and his people are going to dwell eternally secure with him, with the light being the Lamb. Someday all wars are going to cease, and people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation are going to gather around the throne room of heaven and lift up their voices in praise. But in the meantime, his people are to be still. And they're to know that he is God. And they're to put their eyes and fix their eyes on his exaltation among the nations, his exaltation in the whole earth. That day is coming. That's your hope this evening, Christian. That's your refuge. That's your strength. That's your present help in trouble. That's why you do not have to fear. That's how you be still and know that he is God. Look up. See him in his glory. See the glory of his kingdom. See the glory that awaits you. And when the waves and the storms and the troubles come, you can trust him in that trouble. When we feel besieged and surrounded on all sides, you can have peace in his presence. When the wars and the tumults and the conflicts and the ravages of the evil of humanity come, we can have security in his sovereignty. Because we can have stillness in his splendor. And of course, all this was summed up and lived out in the life of Jesus Christ, wasn't it? No man faced more trouble, yet no man found God to be more of a refuge and a strength. No man faced the waves and waves of difficulty and suffering like he did as he made his way through this broken world and died in our place on a cross with that wave after wave of the wrath of God upon him. And yet God was with him. No one faced what he faced. And yet he found his God to be a present help in trouble. He found God's presence in trouble. He found God's sovereignty in trouble. And he knew what it was to be still in the splendor of his Father. We look to him. And we follow him. Maybe you're tuning in this evening and you're not a Christian. What's your hope? What's your refuge and your strength in the trouble of this world? When the waves come, when you feel surrounded, when wars and tumults and everything that we trust in falls away and breaks away, what are you going to be trusting in? Where are you going to run to? Stop flailing around in the dark. Be still this evening and see that he is God, the almighty, sovereign, holy God who sent his Son to die on a cross for you. If you'd give up trying to make it by yourself and you'd run to him for refuge and you'd run to him for strength and find him as a present help in trouble, the trouble of your sin and your need of a Savior, and that you would come to him this evening and be forgiven. Make God your refuge. Find him to be your strength. Be still and know that he is God. Just before we sing, I just want to read the words of a wonderful song. It's called Hide Me Now. Based on this psalm, and this is what it says. Hide me now under your wings. Cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you our God. If you're in trouble this evening, listen to the psalmist. Find God as your refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble. Do not fear. Be still. And know he is God. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth.